people sing the truth. Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Shalom, brothers and sisters. I pray you're all doing well out there. And today I want to talk about a really important topic that I believe is disappearing from most of modern Christianity today. Most believers, whether you call yourself a Christian or a Torah believer, or whatever else you want to call yourself, it's about the fear of our wonderful Creator. And I believe it's becoming a missing foundation to spiritual maturity. And we need to take this message seriously. We hear often about our Creator's love. We often hear about His grace. And of course, we also hear about His blessings. This is one of the things we preach to others as we try to convert them. This is one of the foundations of what we do. The love, grace, and blessings of our Creator. But one of the greatest truths in Scripture that's not talked about enough, but there's so many Scriptures that talk about it, is the fear of our Creator. Your translation will say the fear of the Lord, or the fear of God, or the fear Yahweh. Now, I'm not talking about being afraid that our Creator wants to destroy you. I'm talking about a truly deep reverence, a holy respect. When you walk into a courtroom, you know that your outcome is based on the judge's decision. So when the judge walks in the room, what do? You stand up, because those are the rules. But more important, because you give respect to the one that's going to determine your future life. That's going to determine the outcome of the case. Well, there's a greater judge other than the human judge that's in a court. When a police officer pulls you over, if you're wise, you'll respect what they're asking you to do. There's a greater holy respect we must give than to our local law enforcement. It's a deep reverence, a holy respect that we must understand who we are truly standing before, the true judge. The judge and the Creator of all creation, of heaven and earth, who spoke the galleries and into existence, before whom angels covered their faces, the Creator whom when every knee will bow, the more we lose the fear of Him, the more we become casual about living against His guidelines and instructions. Here is the bottom line, folks. People today are losing that holy reverence for the word of our Creator and for our Creator Himself. They're not exalting Yeshua for what He did for us. They've forgotten, and they're putting things before Yeshua in their lives, making an idol out of other things. But the reality is, there's a direct connection between reverence and holiness. And if you take out the reverence, you take out the holiness. What is holiness? Holiness, holy means set apart. If you do not give reference to our wonderful Creator and who He is and what He does for you every single day, you being set apart goes away. And now you're just like the average person walking around in the darkness, in great danger of spiritual attack by the enemy. It is the fear of a wonderful Creator, or the reverence for Him, might be a better way to say it, that produces discipline, that produces obedience. And not obedience that we have to, but an obedience that we want to. See, many people think obedience comes from trying harder. But it doesn't come from try a heart. The scriptural truth shows us that obedience comes from our changed heart and how we live, because the fear we have of our wonderful Creator, or the reverence we have for Him. It says in Proverbs, which is another word for wisdom, the fear of Yah is the beginning of wisdom. Notice that. It doesn't say the end of wisdom. It says the beginning of wisdom. See, folks, there's many people out there that read their scriptures. They can quote many verses. They know many facts about scripture. There are many people out there that go to church often, maybe every week, maybe two times a week. But wisdom begins when we recognize and give reverence to our wonderful Creator. Think about scripture itself. When Isaiah saw our Creator, he didn't congratulate himself. He didn't begin talking. He didn't start making requests. He cried out in Isaiah 6 verse 5, "Woe is me, for I am ruined." One glimpse of our Creator's holiness completely changed him. The problem is when we think about the word set apart, we don't really think about what it means to be holy according to the scriptures. When we think that believers are supposed to be different than the world, set apart from the world. But if you put a believer next to a non-believer today, it's very hard to find differences. That should be a clear sign something's not right when you fit into this world and you look and act like the world. And that is the problem. The average believer today has become too casual with our Creator. They don't have that reverence for our Creator, and even more scary is they don't have that appreciation for Yeshua and what He did for us. Oh, I'm not saying people aren't emotional. They'll pray for their friends that died, or they'll never get over their family members that died, and they'll think about them all the time. But where is the reverence for Yeshua and what He's done for us? He's not just another person. Now, don't misunderstand me. Yeshua calls us friends. That is true. But He is also King. He is Lord. He is Judge. He is the one who is returning in a blazing fire. The disciples loved Him deeply, yet they also feared Him. After He calmed the storm, they didn't celebrate. They asked, "What kind of man is this?" in Matthew 8:27. They were filled with awe. Our Creator wants us, desires us to have an intimacy, a reverence so beautiful, of respect and out of love. We don't be obedient or keep the wedding vow to our spouse because we're trying to follow something. We do it because we love our spouse. And that's what we need to do. We need to follow this, not because we have to, but because we love our Creator. He says in His word, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And I've spoken many times recently in the audios and videos that I've done about what worship truly is. It's not just singing. It's way more than singing. Many people mistakenly think worship begins when the music starts. But the Bible tells us something different. Worship isn't about a song. It's about a lifestyle. Romans 12 tells us to present ourselves as living sacrifices. Folks, that is true worship. That is true worship. When Abraham offered Isaac, that was worship. Genesis 22:5 says, "We will worship, then return." No music, no instruments, just complete surrender. Real worship always costs something. If worship costs nothing, it probably isn't biblical worship. And when we think about how we can measure, are we truly worshiping our Creator? Are we truly worshiping Him? This is the problem most Christians miss. And I will say this is the reason why most people that call themselves Torah keepers or commandment keepers also miss. It's not just doing something, it's doing something with reverence. But what needs to be done is not being done. The average Christian is not worshiping our Creator as well as they should be. Here it comes, folks. Listen. The greatest way you can give true worship to our Creator is not a song or a dance. It's something that's far more costly to people, but with a much greater reward. It's something that sets believers apart from non-believers. It's something that shows you truly where you're at. The greatest worship you can give is something that I believe the church today desperately needs to recover. Our Creator never desired songs. What He desired was obedience. Hallelujah! Obedience. But obedience to what? The average churchgoer is very obedient to the person that's running the church. They're obedient to their home church leader or their home fellowship leader. But no, it's obedience to the scriptures. The first five books of the scriptures is called the Torah. That's not a Jewish thing. That's a Yahweh thing. That's a God thing. That's the foundation of all scripture. And if you ask the average Christian, they wouldn't even know what it is or what it says. But that's where our Creator gives us the commandments. You know, the church has some crazy thing today called law versus grace. Law versus grace. No. If you truly want the grace of our wonderful Creator, and if you truly want to worship Him, if you truly want to know Him, you need to be obedient to the commandments of our Creator, the ones that we can still keep today. Remember, our Creator desires obedience. That is the best way you can worship Him. In 1 Samuel 15:22, Samuel told Saul, "To obey is better than sacrifice." Think about that. To obey is better than sacrifice. Then think about, do you obey the scriptures? Yes, Christians follow the moral laws of the Bible, but so do non-believers. Morally, we know it's not good to commit adultery or commit murder. You're not special because you're following these natural moral instincts of life that even non-believers follow. But our Creator gave us guidelines and instructions to live by that go beyond just these moral, normal things that people do. Think about what Saul did. He brought sacrifices and Creator rejected them. Why? Because obedience becomes before offerings. People can raise their hands and close their eyes and sing beautiful and play great music. But if you leave the church building and you continue to ignore the commandments of our Creator, have you truly worshipped? Remember, Yeshua, the one they called Jesus, said in John 14:15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will keep my commandments." We need to understand that. Love without obedience is only emotion. Biblical love always obeys. We get that. Our Creator looks at our heart. When I first became a believer, I remember the lady that was talking to me about this said, our Creator doesn't see the outside of things and is looking like we are and judging things like, no. Almost he sees our heart. So I'm thinking, as a young believer, so all he sees is these hearts running around. And maybe that's not the case. But he knows our motives and he knows our thoughts. It's not about perfection. It's about desire. All we were desiring to be obedient to our Creator. See, our Creator isn't impressed by the outward things people are doing. He's impressed with our heart. Cain brought an offering. Saul brought an offering and sacrifices. The Pharisees prayed publicly. Yet our Creator rejected all of it. Why? Because reverence begins inside. And David understood this in Psalm 51:17. The sacrifices of our Creator are a broken spirit. Yahweh isn't looking for impressive performances. He is looking for surrendered hearts. Hallelujah. It's very simple, folks. Obedience and blessings go hand in hand. And disobedience, which is sin, go hand in hand with curses. Just like a parent of a little child warns them not to do certain things, our Creator warned us not to do certain things. Our Creator doesn't want to condemn and destroy people that live in disobedience and sin. He gave us the guidelines and instructions, the Torah, the commandments, not to see if we'll pass the test. He gave it to us to protect us. That's what we have to understand. So when Christians say things like, well, the law is done away with, or we no longer need to follow the guidelines and instructions, your protection is done away with if you believe that. You understand? His commandments are there to protect us. And we need the reverence because it guards our hearts. Joseph in the scriptures understood this when tempted by Potiphar's wife. He didn't ask, what can I get away with? He didn't use or think the same concept of the mercy of our Creator will let me get away with this. And the average Christian today is using Yeshua's death and mercy and grace as an excuse to live against the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, whether they know it or not, whether you admit it or not. But the heart of Joseph in Genesis 39 verse 9 says, how then could I do this great evil and sin against my Creator? Notice his focus was in being worried about getting caught. He feared dishonoring our Creator. That there is true holiness. When no one is watching, the fear of our Creator still guides us. That's it right there. And it's something, the set apartness, the holiness, the reverence for our Creator is something that's fading away. It's something that's not only not taught, but is taught against. It's not grace versus law, folks. It's grace with the law. With obedience. Repentance and submission have become curse words in the church today. And when you bring this up and you say something to somebody and they brush it off like it's not a big deal, the enemy is just looking, laughing. Sadly, holiness isn't popular today. The fear of our Creator isn't popular today. People want blessings without repentance. They want blessings without obedience. They want victory without surrender. Then they desire salvation without discipleship. Yeshua said in Luke 9:23, if anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Folks, discipleship costs something. It always has. It's never been comfortable to follow him. He warned us in the scriptures. It's not going to be an easy path. People will come against you. But that's what being set apart is about. You want to be identified by somebody as a follower of Yeshua. When I see somebody, if somebody has to ask, is that person following Yeshua? If you can't see the difference between somebody who's a believer and a non-believer, somebody's not doing their job. Somebody's not giving their reverence. Somebody's not doing their obedience. The early believers knew this. Even though the Creator was guiding their steps, they were still very cautious about each step, thinking about it. Thinking about it. We need to consider these things. We need to give the reverence. We need to understand pride will destroy us. And humility is often misunderstood. In humility, people often think, I'm worthless, or I'm the lowest of the low. Our Creator says His children have a great value. We were purchased with the blood of Messiah. And humility simply recognizes that everything we have came from a wonderful Creator. Every breath, every talent, every opportunity. Paul asks in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7, what do you have that you did not receive? Nothing. Every good thing comes from Him. And that realization produces gratitude instead of pride. Please, please, please understand when it says the fear of Yah. See, the non-believer thinks the fear of Yah means we're walking around scared that He's going to strike us with lightning because He's not happy with something we didn't do. No. The fear of Yah, the beginning of wisdom. It's also the sign of reverence. That's what it is. We don't necessarily fear the judge when he walks in a room, but we give him the reverence because we know his power. We need to understand order. And we need to understand who needs to be top of the order and who's get the most reverence. There's immature believers and there's mature believers. Mature believers remain humble, not letting pride get ahead of them. The longer we walk with our Creator, we should become even more humble. The knowledge should increase humility, not pride. The closer people came to Peter came to Yeshua, the more aware he became of his own weakness. Remember that. Sadly, that's not happened today. People stuck. From the beginning, they give him no reverence, and they just get stronger in that. It's a great sign. Some people say the original covenant was to show us and reveal our sin, so we can know where we're at. The reverence that we give our Creator, the fear of Him, does the same thing. Remember, Paul called himself the least of the apostles. Later, the least of all the saints. Near the end of his life, the chief of sinners. As our Creator's light shines brighter and we draw close to Him, we become more aware of our need for His mercy. Reverence, the fear of our Creator, changes everything. It's not only for the church. It changes how we speak. It changes how we dress, how we spend money, how we raise our children, how we treat our spouses, how we walk and drive, everything. Everything. Because we remember our Creator sees everything. Not to condemn us, but because he desires to honor us and protect us. Remember, not only does the fear of our Creator produce wisdom and give us protection, but it also produces confidence. It makes us fearless towards everything. When you give our Creator the reverence He desires, when you are in awe of Him, you stop fearing people, you stop worrying about public opinion, and you stop living for approval. The apostles stood before rulers because they feared Yah more than them. Acts 5:29 says, "We must obey our Creator rather than men." Hallelujah. That kind of courage comes from reverence. It must be our goal to hear one sentence at the end of life that truly matters. Not social media or YouTube or friends or critics. One day we will stand before our Messiah. I want to hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Notice He didn't say well known, successful, popular, talented. He said faithful. Faithfulness grows our reverence. Practical ways to grow in the fear of our Creator. If you say, "How do I grow in this faith?" Here is a few spiritual practical steps. Spend time reading passages that reveal Yahweh's holiness. Isaiah 6, Ezekiel 1, Revelation 4 and 5. Let Scripture reshape your view of our Creator. Number 2, make obedience intimate. Intimate. Delayed obedience usually becomes disobedience. When our Creator speaks, respond. Number 3, confess sin quickly. Don't become comfortable with compromise. Keep a tender conscience. Number 4, begin every day acknowledging our Creator's greatness. Thank Him and praise Him and recognize who He is before asking what you need. Remember that order. Remember order. Thanking Him first, not after He's done something amazing. And number 5, remember Yeshua is returning. Living every day as though you may stand before Him today, because one day will be that day. Have a blessed day, brothers and sisters. Come
out of the world. You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. Torah
Life Ministry. Welcome to Taken Studios, the podcast studio designed with you in mind. Whether you're preaching, teaching, or sharing your heart, we provide a professional space where your voice can be heard. With our state-of-the-art equipment, expert sound engineers, and welcoming environment, you can reach Barry at 727-422-4374.
The views and opinions of programmers heard on WCNO are the responsibility of the participants and producers of the program and may not reflect the views and opinions of the staff or management of WCNO.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.